The APC campaign took off yesterday. In Jos. I must admit it was well attended, even though there were snippets of people clashing at the end over money. These things always happen. So it's not anything new. And the president was there, you know, clad in uniform. They're all wearing the same thing. So as far as campaigns go, it was a relative success as far as campaigns go. Though, I think that for now, all the parties should take this advice and take it in good faith. The moment you plan, you know, you're going to plan things like this, you want to run, you need to set up a group of professionals outside the party structure to handle these things. That includes anchoring the event and so on and so forth. The anchoring was a bit tacky, but it's not any better in any of the parties, to be honest with you. As far as events go, the anchoring and coordination was a bit tacky, but it's not any different in all. We need to professionalize things. We need to use professionals. By now, you will sit all night and watch a Democratic convention, watch a Republican convention, you know, have a good time with it. You know, you need something, but the crowds were there, and the audio, of course, like it happens also in all the parties, the audios are not good enough for people to hear. In any way, most of the crowd are distracted anyway. And I think they're probably there for other reasons, waving the flag, and of course. But Tinubu was able to give his speech, and he talks about his plans for Nigeria, and he says that one can see greater prosperity and jobs in an economy humming with activity, from the farmer in the rural area to the city boy in a bustling urban center. It will have productive work to do and a decent home to return to. That doesn't say much. I want an action plan address. You know, we need to go to the basics, but I've said that 1,000 times, so I'm not going to bother myself saying it again. And he says that, do we adhere to the ideals of broadly shared prosperity, competence, peace, justice, and compassion toward all? Or do we toss these ideals away, shunning the divisive politics of the past? And a lot of philosophy here. And of course, he says one party wants to take us back to a past that never should have been. I'm sure he's talking of the PDP. Another competitor will say that, okay, the present that we are in, is it any better than the past? But I leave the politicians and you to decide that at the polls. He also talks about Buhari's achievements. We had speculated that he might want to distance himself slightly, but he talked about his achievements, massive development in agriculture, infrastructure, and power. I wish he didn't have power sectors, but since power sectors in the last 7.5 years. It is true, there's been, I don't know about agriculture, but infrastructure, yes. But infrastructures are solid structures. What about the people? What has the welfare of the people been like? The average Nigerian, the ordinary Nigerian. And he said he thanked Buhari because he had established a strong foundation for the things we are now to do, and so on and so forth. Anyway, it was an outing. It was okay. I disagree with the headline casting the punch, and I'd like to call the punch management. Yeah, they should pull the editor's ear. Look at what the punch wrote, Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
Tinubu campaign. VIPs hit plateau with 30 private and chartered jets. How could you use that as a front page lead story? What's the big deal about 30 chartered jets at you know, who came? I don't know.
We should open mouth and say, 30.
30, yes. At this age, do you know how many people have access to chartered jets? I'm highly disappointed in the editor of the Punch, and I think I might put a call through to the MD for him to note this. But the riders are good. Tinubu promises to neutralize terrorists. No election winner will be denied mandate, irrespective of party. And president gives Tinubu flag, which, of course, that's what it was all about. Lagos lawmaker, oh yes, may his soul rest in peace. Omitiri, he slumped and died. This is a lesson for politicians. This 24 hours activity is going to take its toll. it's going to take its toll. These 24-hour activities that politicians are always involved in and boast about. I was awake till 4 a.m. yesterday with His Excellency, and by 7 this morning, we are back again. Hey, Oga, it's going to take its toll, you know. May his soul rest in peace. We don't know what happened to him, but I just thought I should reach it. For now, of course, I won't let the freedom sleep. I won't let it slip by me. When Baba wanted to say APC and he said PD and then said APC, of course, it's all over town. Hey, you guys don't worry his age. It happens to everybody. it happens to everybody, but it shouldn't happen often. If it happens often, then it signifies that there's a problem somewhere. But it's still for us to decide. It is a pity, though, that we do not have in our laws very strong laws that takes cognizance of the state of health and people's background in these things. You sit back and sometimes watch a catastrophe coming, and you are completely helpless. But that's a story for another day. Tinubu has done his bit. He's come out. So today, I think he's in Imo. Is that right?
I have no idea where.
No, today I think he's in Imo today. I've saw some adverts.
Okay.
Welcoming him.
Mm. All right, and that's how the campaign train would keep moving around.
Yes,
my appeal in this regard is to pivot on what Bishop Matthew Hassan Cook has said about supporters not killing themselves, you know, over politicians. That's because of the wave of violence that we are now beginning to see. They've started to characterize our campaigns once again in Jos. Yesterday, there were violence even amongst the rank of the APC supporters. It happened to Atiku the other time as well when his convoy, some buses were attacked. I mean, it's just... we can't appeal enough that people should take care of their own personal safety first. Like Bishop Kuka said, these politicians, they wine, they dine together. Was it not yesterday or the other day that the video of Tinubu and
They met at the airport
surfaced, and they were chatting and they were laughing and all of that. It's supporters really need to put themselves first, at least for the first time. Put yourself first.
Yeah, but I also think that the politicians themselves, you know, need to keep telling their supporters that it sometimes is what you get. They watch the body language of the candidate, as it were, or the principal, most of it is to curry favor. To be honest with you, some of these things are actually planned to make the other guy look bad. Okay, let's plan a bit of violence and credit it to the other guy. The thing is, we need to take this violent disposition out of our lives as individuals. People fight and box themselves over change, and the violence everywhere, harassing Danfo driver, breaking his whatever, harassing Namolanke, harassing Elewa going for money and everything. Even the police, every time, you know, it's become part of us. It's become part of our DNA, and it's very unfortunate.
I mean, if they are not doing it physically, they're doing it virtually. You see people being bullied online. You see somebody being harassed just because the person expresses his or her support for one candidate. And then everybody swoop around the person and you hear attacks here and there. It's
well,
it's
in bringing up our children, in, you know, and the way some of us are brought up, is completely faulty. People don't even know how to be decent to the other person. We don't have a culture of decency anymore. What used to be called Omolua, people ascribe that name to themselves, but they are not anywhere near it. I mean, I've seen some politicians singing songs of this and that, some practically promoting violence, but we'll see how that goes. It's become part of us, and it's worrying.
It's quite worrying. Let's go to page 11 of the Vanguard. 2023 Obi reply Soludo says, I governed as trader, you govern as professor.
Yeah, he took the mickey out of him. He took Obi. You know, I like Peter Obi, you know, he's not perfect, you know, but I like his disposition. He was quite calm. First of all, the guy is critical of me, so what? It's within his rights.
Yeah.
And that if there's anything that he thought that he didn't do right, then he's there to correct it. He just took the mickey out of Soludo, and then he added the joke that I govern, I'm just an ordinary trader. You are a professor, so as long as the people were, because the criticism in any case wasn't that Obi took any money.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't okay? About that.
But by Soludo's calculation, he talked about the investment. Mm-hmm. And Obi said, look, I invested $3.5 billion in that brewery because the facility will employ directly and indirectly 10,000 people in Anambra State, Anambrarians. That makes sense to me. Okay, so the value has fallen. It's not Obi's. It's not directly Obi's fault, you know. And Obi says that whether the value is up or down, the brewery is there, it's functional. People are still, you know, it's taking a lot of people out of the unemployment line. But this criticism should be expected. I mean, come on, the guy is a PDP man and is so afraid of Obi's influence even in his own state.
Sure.
Abga, sorry.
Okay, Soludo. Okay.
Soludo, yes, I keep forgetting that he's an Abga man, you know. And so he's so afraid of Obi's influence, I suspect.
Why? Even why is he afraid of Obi's influence, though? Because even in his statement, he actually alluded to the fact that Obi just might win Anambra.
That is his main fear.
He said that he welcomes that it's even possible for him to win.
No, it's. But guess what?
What's that?
The beauty to it, and now I have to be very careful.
Mm.
There is something that came out in the social media. Everybody's hearing now. I have to be careful. I'm just joking. It's come out in the social media that Soludo's son has told his dad that he stands with Obi.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw it somewhere.
Oh, okay.
They said that he stands with Obi.
How did they know?
How? No, he made a statement. I think it was on his Facebook page.
Oh.
He stands with Obi. And I was happy to hear that, not because he said he supported Obi, that's not the issue, but that one, I just are independent-minded, okay, and that also shows you that the younger people are looking at some of these issues in a different manner, and the earlier we recognize and acknowledge that, the better it will be for us. But that's it. Soludo too should be proud of his son, that he has a very independent mind.
That's right.
I give him kudos for that.
Let's go on. Let's go pick up the page 7 of the Vanguard newspaper. ASUU begins protest against no work, policy.
Oh, no. Somebody should just... I don't want to say much about this. You're going to be sounding like a broken record. But somebody should get this quickly out of the way and let's move forward. I heard the ASUU chairman or president on television last night, and I think it's almost become a personality clash between themselves and the Minister of Labour. And like the ASUU president said, what is the business? Apparently, it is said, it is said that it was the Minister of Labour who was pioneering the no work, no pay, or whatever it is, half pay that they got. And the ASUU president was saying that some professors got as low as 90,000. I mean, why do we do this? I can't understand. After you've been shut down for eight months and so on and so forth, thank God for my cousin's intervention, the speaker, after it was nice enough to have intervened, and within 2-3 days he sorted the whole thing out because he took all the egos out of the way and faced the situation at hand. Now you found a solution, now it's gotten to another crisis point. For how long are we going to do this? For how long? Okay, now the members of ASUU said that even if they don't protest, you can imagine what their spirit would be like. There's a lot of catching up to do. This is the time after resolution, pay them and let the word go on so the students can play catch up. Which lecturer is going to go to the lecture hall to carry chalk with a good spirit in his mind now? I don't. Let's move on to something else before I blow fuse this morning. Why, you see, part of the problem is this.
Yeah.
And I don't shy away from saying it. We need a president who is going to be hands-on and not leave a lot of issues like this to his lesser ministers. And another thing is, you need to keep a rein on your ministers. I don't know how the man has survived. Remember what even happened during the time they were looking for candidates to be president, kept flip-flopping. I don't understand all this. I hope either Tinubu or Atiku or Peter Obi, whichever, or any Kwakwanso, so any one of them come, they will be hands on. An issue like this, you see it in the papers in the morning, you call this one and call that one and sort it out once and for all. This now has been going on for about a week. And guess who suffers? Our children in the universities.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I want a president who would read newspapers. I don't want a president who would delegate information gathering completely to other people that would most likely form a bubble around him, that he's got no idea what his people are going through. He knows nothing.
You know what I thought you wanted to say? You know what the president will get delegate newspaper reading. So. I almost peed on my body.
No, like we need someone who is hands on. I mean, we need someone. He knows. We need someone who would understand that not everybody, not all his citizens, will love him, will like him. So he's ready to accept all of these things. So he picks up the newspapers, selects newspapers, and he reads them. He goes through the headlines
early in the morning. Yeah. In fact, what should be the president's schedule? First thing in the morning is to have breakfast with his, what do they call them? SA media. And they go through the papers together, and his secretary is there, take notes, call me this thing. I want to see this guy at 9. Now, he should run his schedule so that between 8 and 10, he is free. He's not seeing any official whatever, but he's calling up people on these things. Get me the minister for this. What's going on here? I'd like it solved. We need an active president. And that's why, anyway, don't let's go there. Nigeria is a strange country. I'm telling you, it's very strange.
Because we're special.
You reckon?
Yeah, we're special. I mean, we're special.
I'm sorry, this is not because it's my cousin or anything. Look at the speed and ease with which Gbaja has solved one or two problems.
It shows that you've got the hands-on leader, things can work. Things can go right.
Look at the ease with which
things don't have to get really bad.
Look at he got into the ASUU crisis.
It's a typical example of being hands-on as a leader. Typical.
And look at when Yemi Osinbajo, the only time, I think only one time or two times, he had to act.
Yeah.
Within the few weeks that he did, everybody was feeling his impact. Everything was hands-on.
Let me tell you how I felt.
Then or now?
Then. I didn't feel like I was in Nigeria.
Honestly.
I felt like I was in a strange country because things were... I didn't have to see them.
No,
but
they
could
just got
feel
done.
That things were being done. Things were moving. Things were working.
We're slowly going down the precipice with the attitude that we have. I'm not campaigning for anybody, but we can see the signs. We can see the signs, but we're still heading in a certain direction. Only God, I don't even think God will help us anymore. He must be tired of Nigeria. Because he's giving you, because he's giving you everything. Every day, he's giving you oil. I mean, if you look at even the map of West Africa, how come the oil is concentrated in this enclave called Nigeria?
Yeah.
Now there's oil in the north. There's oil in Lagos State. I come from an oil producing state. My character. You know, look at the minerals you have. Everything is there. You even have the personnel. Nigerians are making waves in entertainment, in medicine. Look at your doctors from all over. Just for you now to get yourself coordinated, you start bringing in some silly sentiments. We will pay for this. We'll pay dearly for it, and if care is not taken, some of us who are moving towards closer to the airport, some of us might find life intolerable in the near future if we don't, as adults, stand up now to be counted. That one is speaking in tongues. You can
decode it.
You know that in the celestial church, if somebody is speaking in tongues, will be by his side.
Yes.
That's what Philip is here to do.
Philip is the Wooly.
The day I heard that, I feel like when he said, oh, hello, my bad dog, but that is to make sure that.
Hi. Okay. Shout out to all the Celestia Church of Christ.
Oh, dear me.
Let's take Daily Trust. There's a story, very interesting one, in the Daily Trust newspaper. RTN insists it will not recognize Lagos State Caretaker Committee. That's the road transport employee.
Yes. I mean, I don't know what's going on. The way we carry out the affairs in our transport area in Lagos is not just embarrassing. It has certain symptoms of something I cannot say on air, because I don't know who does that. The RTN, what's the caretaker committee, also still wants to be collecting 700 naira within the crisis that they have, the unions and so on and so forth. And I think that by now, you know, the government should have brought out what I would call a more decent and tolerable policy with this. But the government itself has caught itself in a bind by jumping into something that really and truly is almost illegal or indecent. To find its way out of it just before the elections is a problem. But my greatest fear, because something tells me that nothing is going to change in Lagos. Something is telling me, whether we like it or not, nothing is going to change in Lagos. That we'll have to live with this kind of system for at the minimum another 4 years. Heaven help us all. This is not governance. We have lived in this city before. When these things were minimal, you'd find Agbero just at the in the garages. It was kept there. All of a sudden, Lagos has now become a place where even right bang in the middle of the city, imagine somebody coming from the airport, he gets to the marina, he sees them breaking windscreens and so on and so forth. And you want to be a mega city. I still challenge the Commissioner for Finance to come and tell us here what happens to the 800 naira collected daily in cash. And you said you were going to bring him here.
Who is that?
You are the other here now. Bring the man to the studio.
Who? Finance?
Yes. Or the Information Commissioner. Bring him.
Okay.
Let them come and explain to us in detail what this thing is all about.
Okay, I'll reach out to Dr. Lowe. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, certainly quiet.
So, you know, the thing is, sometimes I just wonder what's going on, because it was only yesterday. I was just alone and thinking. And what you said was what I was thinking about. Like, okay, so Hong Kong, smart city, do they have Agbero there? Amsterdam, do they have Agbero there? Just name other smart cities around the world. Do they have Agberos there? So where are we going with this smart city mumbo jumbo thing? Is this ever going to work? Or is it an attempt by some capitalist in government, some real estate capitalist in the government, to just speculate so that the value of their whatever would increase and people will start jostling for houses they cannot afford? I was just thinking randomly.
Let me tell you what it is. What it is usually at election time like this, you call 8-10 professors or people of intellect, you know, and tell them to prepare a manifesto for you. That's how you come up with all this. When you want to build a hospital, is under some agenda, or you want to build a public toilet, is also one agenda, and you read the riot act to everybody. If you are renovating an office and you want to launch, you must include that agenda thing there. It's all rhetoric. That's why I say I'm never interested in manifestos as far as this country is concerned. I'm more interested in an action plan. Nigeria is almost comatose. It's like what we're doing with all these agendas, manifesto, smart city, and so on and so forth, is wanting to build an aljuta of about 120 floors on the foundation of a bungalow. On a piece of land that is not even, what do they call it? This is raft foundation or whatever. But you do an ordinary foundation of a bungalow, and then you now want, and you can see our thinking and our mentality. Sorry to go back to what happened, for example, in Ikoyi, when you wanted to go for. That's the same attitude that we have. Let us tell them something that will make them vote. Okay, let us package it. Let us package everything. Everything is about packaging. we need to go down to the basics. We need to, if I handle a debate for 2 hours with some of these candidates, they will walk out. Yes, because I'm not going to allow any candidate to come and start talking about we have this agenda integrated. We don't need anything integrated. What we need now is like wanting to build mass housing. Let's build bungalows that we can manage. What we need now is we need to go back to the basics. So I don't believe in all this smart city and it's all. I think I was doing number this time. Said so just smart city.
Yes, no need to smart city. God knows what it is. We have to go. What's coming up at 9? It's there for me today.
It's there for me today. Blackie is coming.
Oh, okay.
And I have a message for Ikeja Electric on behalf of.
You're still on that message.
Yes, my people are suffering. I need to let them know.
Ikeja Electric, though. Yeah, but let's go. We have to.
No, I'm not running. I just need to let them know the sufferings of some of their people. I mean, that's all.
Yeah.
And make sure that it's rectified. Mm. What did you want to say about Ikeja Electric?
No, I get a lot of complaints about Ikeja Electric. Yeah, a lot.
That's why, luckily, some people have reached out to me. Egba wow. So I want to tell the Ikeja Electric.
Like quite a bit of complaints.
They've been in darkness now for close to. According to what I heard yesterday, almost about 8 weeks.
I mean, we have a co-electric, we have a Ikeja Electric.
This is Ikeja Electric.
The complaints that I get most is always.
I can't talk about a co-electric.
You have shares there?
No. I have a son there. Come on, Oyonche.
We have to go. That's all right. Thank you so much for coming.
Okay.
All right, let's take this break. When we return, let's talk security.
Listen to this to understand the amazing power of 5G.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not